some stuff out, but she's still...
Marina, are you starting the recording?
Yes. All right, guys, we have a live recording. Make sure to be aware that any shuffling or talking that you do is picked up by a hot mic, okay?
All right, thank you. All right, we have a quorum. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Orange County Housing and Community Development Commission for Thursday, June 26, 2023. If you would all stand and join me for the pledge. Right hand on the heart. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll now proceed to the agenda for this morning's meeting. The agenda contains a brief description of each of the items to be considered. Except as otherwise as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on today's agenda. Public comment rights are not limited and do not include the right to defame or slander. The use of profanity that causes a disturbance or disruption in the proceeding is truly objectionable, is not allowed, and it may cause us to take a recess from the meeting. Public comments must be within the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission. As such, attacks on persons who are not subject to the jurisdiction of this commission will not be heard. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yes, good morning. Ms. Ann Nguyen. Second call for Ms. Ann Nguyen. She's absent, she's excused. Ms. Maria Ullman.
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Mike Alvarez.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Stephanie Odo.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. James Maya.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Wayne Carvalho.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Carla Wilkerson.
Here.
Ms. Helen Smith Gardner. And second call for Ms. Helen Smith Gardner. Mr. Mike Frost is excused. And Ms. Cecilia Hepp is absent and excused as well. Mr. Vice Chair, we have a quorum, and I'd like to announce some housekeeping items before we begin. If you wish to comment on a specific agenda item in person, please complete a speaker request form identifying the item, number, your name, and deposit the completed form in the box located next to the clerk. To speak on a matter not appearing in the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the HNCD Commission, you may do so during public comments items at the end of the meeting. Speaker request forms must be deposited prior to the beginning of the consent calendar, the reading of the individual agenda item, the opening of a public hearing, and or the beginning of public comment item. When your name is called, please come to the podium and begin your comments by stating your name or pseudonym for the record. Members of the public desiring to speak should address all remarks and questions to the commission. Speakers may address the commission on up to three occasions with 3 minutes allotted to the speaker per occasion.
Thank you. I'd like to note that January Johnson is not in attendance this morning. So we'll move over to the next item, which is the approval of last month's or the April minutes. Has there been any comments received on this item?
Mr. Vice Chair, no requests to speak on approval of minutes have been received for item number 5.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or I'd entertain a motion?
I move to approve the minutes if there are no changes.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Mike to approve it, and a second by
Maria.
If there's no other comments, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, motion carries. Moving on, item 6, presentations, introductions. There are none, so we'll move on. Public comments. This time, members of the public may address the commission regarding any items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action shall be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Speakers will have 3 minutes to address the commission, and the clerk will run the timer announce when your time has expired. Do we have anybody signed up for comments?
Mr. Vice Chairman, no requests for item number 7 of public comments have been received.
Okay. Thank you. No consent calendar items. Moving along, discussion items. Have Julia do a brief introduction to discussion item number 1. Julia.
Hi, good morning. Julia Bidwell, I don't know if this is on, Director, Housing Community Development. Discussion item number 1 is to extend the term of the current chair and vice chair through December 2023. The current bylaws were revised to a template and approved by the Board of Supervisors in the form requested by the board. That changed the chair of the term the term of the chair and the vice chair to a calendar year basis instead of fiscal year basis in our prior bylaws. So this is to extend the term of the chair and the vice chair through 2023 to be consistent with the adopted HCD commission bylaws to elect the chair annually at the last HCD commission meeting of each calendar year. So we want to extend the terms. That would be extension of our current chair, Cecilia Hupp, and vice chair, Wayne Carvalho.
Thank you. Any discussion from commissioners? Seeing none, are there any public comments on this item?
Mr. Vice Chairman, no requests to speak on discussion item number 1 have been received.
Okay, any, again, any discussion from the commission? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to extend the term of the current chair and vice chair through December 2023.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion by Stephanie Hodo, seconded by James By, to move this item. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Move on to discussion item number 2.
Can I say something?
Absolutely.
Prior to moving on to the next item, we didn't really acknowledge that that Helen showed up.
Okay, let's go ahead.
I just want to make sure we
showed
have
up.
Thank
showed
you.
Up.
On the record that Helen yeah. is in attendance.
It's just new button.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Discussion item number 2.
So discussion item number 2 this morning is revisions to the Housing Community Development Commission bylaws. At the direction of the HCD Commission, staff reviewed the bylaws to include language regarding absenteeism. We also included other revisions that were needed at this time and recommended with County Council. Staff is recommending revisions to the HCD bylaws and the summary, if you all have that, there is in your packet both the red line of the bylaws and a summary memo. We're revising under the duties of the members, adding that any member of the HCD Commission who fails to attend 3 consecutive regular meetings or half of the regular meetings in a calendar year shall automatically vacate the position of commission member. We took this from OC Community Services has 2 commissions. One's the Veterans Advisory Council, the other is a Senior Citizens Advisory Council. They have this language in there. This doesn't count if we don't have a meeting. It doesn't count against you if we don't have a meeting. You're not all absent. So it's just of the meetings held. So this is our recommendation for adding that item to the bylaws. I don't know if you want to see if there's discussion on each or if you want me to cover all of the changes and then discussion.
Well, I think there were only 3 changes.
That's right. You want
yeah,
me to
you
go
can
through
go
all, of them?
All 3.
Okay, yeah. Certainly. The next revision is to Article 8, Meetings and Actions. We added in a revision to delete additional public comments section in the order of business. The original bylaws included 2 places for general public comments in the order of business, as the public may make comments on any item, and under general public comments, 2 sets of public comments in the order of business are not required. That's the deletion of the additional public comments on the order of the agenda. And the last item being recommended for revision in the bylaws is under Article 9, Authority, Section C. The revision will clarify the chairperson's ability to establish ad hoc committees and the time-limited nature of such committees. So the recommended action this morning is to approve revisions to the HCD Commission bylaws as outlined in attached revised bylaws document and direct staff to forward changes to the Board of Supervisors for final approval and adoption.
Thank you. I first want to see if there were any public comments on this item.
No, Mr. Vice Chairman, I have no request to speak on discussion item 2 have been received.
Okay, thank you. Is there any comments, questions from the commission on this?
Yeah, I have some comments and questions.
Sure.
Thank you. So I'm inclined to, vote to approve all of this. I just had a couple questions. The first one was on the absenteeism. Just to confirm, if a member does not show for 3 consecutive meetings, they automatically vacate. In other words, it's just assumed that when they haven't shown for that 3rd meeting, they're automatically not on the commission anymore. Is that correct?
That's right. That's part of the recommendation. I presume we would send them a notification.
Sure. You send them a letter.
Right.
And that's what we do in my city. So. That makes sense. And then my second question was the public comments. Just to confirm, these are 2 separate sections in the meeting that accept the same type of comment. In other words, items that are not on the agenda. Is that correct? They're
right.
Both
right, so
the same thing.
Right. In our current order of business, if you look on to today's agenda,
mm-hmm.
There are 2 sets of public comments.
Right.
One that's under presentations and introductions. And you can't take any action that's off agenda unless
mm-hmm.
authorized by law.
Mm-hmm.
The second time that we have public comments is item 12, and it's the same. It's within the subject matter jurisdiction. The other one says off agenda items, but we've just designated it, but there's no requirement that we have 2 sets of public comments.
Okay, so just to clarify, currently any member of the public can speak on any item on the agenda when the agenda item comes up.
That's correct.
Right. And then if someone wants to come and talk to us about things that are not on the agenda, currently they can speak at these 2 different times. We're suggesting that they just speak. We're eliminating this first one and suggesting the second one. I guess I'm wondering, if you're coming here to talk about something not on the agenda, wouldn't it make more sense just to do it at the beginning and keep that first one instead of at the end? That way they can just leave the meeting as a member of the public.
Yeah, I don't know if there's, and I know.
Like, was there some rationale to picking one or the other?
Yeah, my rationale is every agenda that we have here at the county, that's generally how it's done, unless my county council is nodding any different behind me. That's just generally the order of business in the county.
That's just how it's been done? Okay.
I had the same question.
I think it's really interesting that it's at the end.
Because I'm familiar with it, at the beginning of the agenda. So my question, my note was, why don't we suggest leaving number 5 and on the red line, and eliminating the public comments at the end. I have the same question.
Right.
Yeah, because I think it encourages public participation when it's more accessible.
Yeah. Does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Does it matter?
Is it possible that
staying
for the whole meeting may clarify or answer some of the person's questions?
No, because it's an item not on the agenda.
Okay. Well, not necessarily, though.
Well, if it's on the agenda, then they have the opportunity to speak during that agenda item. So.
In Irvine, we do it at the end.
Oh, you do?
We just changed it.
I tend to agree with Member Odo, because if this was a really long meeting, I guess it's not a really long meeting, so leaving it at the end doesn't matter, but it seems like because it's not a long meeting and people probably want to just get out early anyway, it seems to leaving at the beginning is probably a better idea in this case.
And my point is, at the city council meetings, which are generally held in the evening, a lot of times cities will decide to put it at the end, because if they have it at the beginning, and they have 100 speakers at 3 minutes each. They can't get to the real business till a lot later, and it goes into the wee hours of the morning. So a lot of cities, like Irvine and some others, they might say, hey, we'll move the whole thing to the end, or we'll keep 30 minutes, and after 30 minutes, then they have a second opportunity. But here, I think it's best to put it at the beginning. I agree.
So. Yeah, if you want to make a motion, and then we can...
Sure, that's the only one. Any other questions on any of the three?
I actually have a question about the meetings missed. I'm wondering what constitutes an excused absence?
That's a great
question.
And
I'm wondering if we could maybe adopt unexcused as the three consecutive regular meetings. Because if someone has like an illness, that's my thought, if they have like an illness that is, and they've been on the commission and they've served and they've done a great job for, you know, long term, and then they have an illness that's, let's say, more than 3 months, then they may miss, you know, three consecutive meetings, but those would, I would assume, be documentable, and then it would be excused, I would assume, and...
Yeah, I think, and again, probably county council, I can't see you in the back of my head, but I think the implementation is up to your commission. It doesn't have to be in the bylaw changes, what you consider to be excused or not excused for those three absences. Right, they can choose. It doesn't have to be in the bylaw changes or in the bylaws.
There's some flexibility in the term as written. You could provide greater specificity, or you could leave it the way it's written.
So we could adopt a policy. Yeah. So if the changes are general, to say three consecutive fails to attend, if you want to adopt a policy that an excused absence for the following reasons, it will not count against your three.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can adopt a policy mm-hmm. after the bylaws are adopted.
So I have a heartless idea of putting in the word unexcused in the description.
Yeah, we can make recommendations as staff. We do right now, we have AB 2449, which governs the ability to attend via Zoom. And there is just cause in there, and we might just adopt the just cause, mm-hmm. which is a child care, adult, I think there's sickness in there. That may be, we can come back to you with recommendations to stay consistent with other items, because we still do have the ability, I think that goes through 2025 or 2026, somebody can, if they have just cause that meets AB 2449 requirements, can join via Zoom. You do have to have a quorum of the members public here in this room,
mm-hmm.
and you can only do that, I think, three times.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some alternatives to attendance, which mm-hmm. makes maybe your perspective or what you want to review as an excused absence a little bit different
mm-hmm.
than just because we have to come to this room. But we can make some recommendations if you approve the bylaw changes, and then you can make a policy on what you feel is excused or unexcused for those three absences.
Yeah, so I like the way it's written now. That doesn't mean we can't talk about what that policy would look like, and because right now it gives us some room to move, right? So we could use our discretion in the policy. You follow me? That's what she's saying. I think I think that's what I'm hearing.
Define specificity rather than...
In other words, we don't need to do it here in the bylaws. Right?
Right, so in case you have a change of mind, we don't have to come back to you with the bylaws
yeah.
change and then go to the Board of Supervisors,
oh.
right? If you have a policy on what defines an excused absence that doesn't count towards the three.
That's fine. I mean, I agree. I think we should adopt it, or I suggest adopting it this way. And if we came back with a policy, I mean, the goal is not to just have someone reply to your email every month saying, should I go or should I not? And, you know, I can't make it. And not understand why. Because we're here hoping for the quorum, you know, and then everyone gets to go home.
Mm-hmm.
That was the goal, so.
It's not in there. Yeah, I was just reading that too.
Oh, okay.
But I agree with you. There are exceptions.
Sorry.
Someone's, you know, out for a few months doing treatment.
Okay, well, so Brendan is now, okay, got it.
If you miss, that's a good.
So, any member of the HCD commission who fails to attend three consecutive regular meetings unless it is an excused absence. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would then let us define excused absence.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to insert that?
Yeah.
Or can you put it at the end? Automatically vacate, exception being excused absences as defined by policy? Something like that.
Is there any recommendation?
Otherwise you're getting into a really long sentence there. Being an English teacher, sorry.
I guess it could be a parens at the very end, unless is an excused absence.
An exception being excused absence.
I don't know, that might leave it open to interpretation and.
Well, I think that's why we're talking about defining the specific outlines of.
As defined.
Excused absences, but not necessarily listed in the bylaws.
That's legalese. As defined somewhere else, and then you go.
Defined by policy number, whatever.
Yeah, as defined by policy, you go find the policy.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd have to bring that back to them. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or you could reference a future policy.
Any member of the HCD commission who has an unexcused absence for three consecutive regular meetings.
Yeah, I like that.
Is that what you're talking about?
So you don't even have to go on further, right? Because you define, you've said an excuse, I like it.
So any member of the HCD commission who has an unexcused absence for three consecutive regular meetings, or half of the regular meetings in calendar year, shall automatically vacate.
Do you need to parens the policy?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think now, and thank you, John, for bringing that up.
I like that language.
You have to have the term unexcused in there to be able to further define.
I like that language better than.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though you still got to come back and.
Mm-hmm. Does that have to go back to the board?
Mm-hmm. No, we're in the process.
We're doing this anyway.
Whatever language you give us today, we can take to the board. We haven't been to the board yet. We'll go to the board after you. So, I don't know if there's any further discussion. I can summarize any motions.
Any other comments on any of the other items? The ad hoc committee is fine. Okay.
So I think you have.
Seeing none, maybe you can go ahead.
Is there a motion to approve this right now? I don't think so. You want to do like a motion though to add the language?
I will move to approve the revisions to the Housing and Community Development Commission bylaws with two amendments to the suggestions. Under Article 6, Item G, to read, any member of the HCD Commission who has an unexcused absence for three consecutive regular meetings or half of the regular meetings in a calendar year shall automatically vacate the position of commission member. And secondly, to keep item 5 in the order of business, public comments, and to delete that would be item number, stays. I think it's going to end up being item number 10, but the second public comments.
Right. Number 9, yeah.
It says 9 there, but it'll be 10, I think.
Anyway. I'll second that motion. Everyone understand that motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion?
We need to vote.
Yeah. If there's no more discussion, we'll go ahead and take take a roll call vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? All right, motion carries.
We have those. Thank you. Good discussion. Appreciate that.
Since it's still on this agenda, we do have another opportunity for public, this is public hearings. We have no public hearings. We'll go through the reports. First one's community development. Mr. Fee.
Good morning, Chair and Commission members. Craig Fee, Community Development. Quick update as far as what the community development is happening in this month and the next couple months. Every 3 years has a requirement for us to enter into cooperation agreements with cities in Orange County. There's two levels of cities, as you know, participating cities and metropolitan cities. What a cooperation agreement is, it gives the opportunity for existing cities that are participating in our urban county program to continue through an amendment. It also gives non-participating small cities the opportunity to participate in our urban county program. It also does that similar to metropolitan cities, which are basically entitlement cities, which are cities that get funding directly from HUD at present to come to the county program to get funding through the county. What that does is we take the administrative burden off of those cities and do all of the required paperwork, annual action plans, the cooperation agreement, obviously, the consolidated annual performance and evaluation reports to HUD. We also make sure that the cities, the entitled cities, do have projects that can choose their own, but we have to make sure that they do satisfy a national objective through HUD. So it basically takes some of the burden off of the cities that they don't have the staff to do that type of activity. Cooperation agreements for this coming 24-27 year are scheduled to go to the board on July 25th. And other than that, if there's any questions after that, another FYI, the annual action plan was approved by the Board of Supervisors on May 9th. So that will begin our next funding cycle starting July 1st of 23. Any questions? Thank you.
All right, housing development, Shells Beta.
Hi, good morning, Michelle Zadiba, Housing Development Manager. For our report today, I wanted to provide a couple of updates. First being our notice of funding availability. As you all know, we released this towards the end of March 2023. To date, we have received 5 applications requesting a combination of capital funding as well as project-based vouchers. You don't see any of that in this report because they're still under review. So until we move it forward and they complete threshold review, you won't be seeing them. And typically we will bring it forward to the project review advisory panel for threshold and underwriting. And we'll provide you with updates on that. The last project review advisory panel we had was on June 8th, which we brought forward HB Oasis. It's a round 2 home key project that was interim to permanent conversion project. Right now they're looking to do the second phase, which is converting it to permanent housing. They're requesting 62 project-based vouchers, as well as some capital funding for that portion. So that was what we brought forward to PROP for threshold review. It will move forward, and we completed underwriting. We'll bring it back to the project review advisory panel at the next meeting on July 13th, and then hopefully moving forward and taking it to the Board of Supervisors on July 25th for final commitment. And that project will be looking to apply for tax credits as well on August 8th. So we're hoping that it'll have a successful round. We'll be able to move forward with that, since we do have a 5-year time frame to convert that project to permanent housing under the Home Key program.
Michelle, can you tell me the name of that project again? I missed it.
HB Oasis.
HB Oasis.
Yeah, Huntington Beach.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, what's the permanent name going to be? Is that the permanent name?
Right now, that's the name, and that's the project name, but they could change it later on, which typically happens once they get through the financing process. And I don't know if I mentioned it, but right now it's operating as a 64 interim operations at 64 units, and then it'll convert to 63 units, one unit being the manager's unit, and then 62 permanent supportive housing units. And speaking of Home Key, we are still working through Home Key right now. The application is due July 28th to State HCD. I think previously provided you with an update that we had an RFI and we qualified developers. We posted that on our website. We're moving forward and reviewing prospective sites. We're still going through that process now. Anything that will be moving forward will be brought back to the Project Review Advisory Panel for consideration. And I think that's probably it for all of my updates. Does anyone have any questions?
Seeing none, thank you, Michelle.
Great, thank you.
All right, next is Housing Authority update, Rhonda Munoz.
Good morning, my name is Rhonda Munoz. I'm the Assistant Manager for the Orange County Housing Authority, and I'm a little bit nervous, so this is my first meeting, and that's okay.
It's okay.
So I'm gonna give you some updates. OCHA has offered the Family Unification Program since the mid-2000s. The program currently assists families with the open social services case where the not adequate housing primary factor is the return for the child or children back to a home. Or foster youths between the ages of 18 and 24 who have left or will need foster care and are in the risk of becoming homeless. HUD opened a new non-competitive opportunity to add vouchers to serve. Sorry, can you raise your
hand? A little bit.
A little louder.
Is the microphone on?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, sorry. Because I know we're all shuffling, so I'm guessing we're doing the same thing. I'm trying to coordinate the speaker mm-hmm. to the report. Mm-hmm. So Michelle spoke. Was there a report that coordinated to her?
It did, yes. The Housing Community Development Status Report has both Craig and Michelle's items in it.
Okay.
It's the last item in the report.
Oh, it's at the end?
Right.
Oh, okay. And then Juana's?
And then Juana, so OCHA has an OCHA status report. They're not giving you the entire report. They're giving you highlights.
What page is that on the agenda? Where is that? I'm trying to follow along while she talks.
Right after the red line.
It's January Johnson.
Right oh, right after. It's the January Johnson. Okay, yeah, got it. Okay, sorry. Thank you.
HUD opened a new non-competitive opportunity to add vouchers to serve more foster youth in the FUP utilization if we reach 90%, and OCHA's current utilization is nearing 90%, and we intend to apply for the additional vouchers shortly. These vouchers are going to be called Foster Youth to Independence, or you're going to hear FYI vouchers. And so those are going to be for the youth.
Can I, so this is over 18, aging out.
Right, 18, yes, 18 through 24.
Thank you.
The referrals for both the family unification and the FYI will come from the social services agency. We currently continue to pull from the waiting list, 200 per month. And we currently have approximately 2,000 still on the waiting list. And there are about 260 members in the waiting list. And we're still on schedule to open the waiting list in this coming fall, 2023. Any questions?
I have a question, and you may not be the right person to address, but what is there any place that a foster youth can be if I have a foster child, for example, how does that change my ability to have a one-bedroom, two-bedroom status?
So in the regular housing choice voucher, if you have a foster child,
yes,
your family size, so we do count them to give them a bedroom.
Oh, is that
yes.
Right?
Foster children are counted.
And then what happens when that foster child might move on? You don't get another foster child for, say, a month, 3 months, 5 months.
We will we process a change in bedroom size.
Oh, is that right?
No longer
then you have to move.
We have extra bedroom, so we will, yes.
Okay.
But it will be at the next annual certification. So it will be immediately, but it will
oh,
be, so
okay.
There'll be a, there might be a possibility that they get another foster child.
Right, okay. Well, that makes sense. Thank you for coming here. One of the issues with foster children, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is that you have to have a bedroom that's completely empty and a closet that's completely empty. So that's difficult to do in this county with the housing costs, because I would have several foster children if I could somehow, you know, get the extra bedroom. So that's really good to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any
other questions? No? All right. All right, we'll turn it over to Julia for her report.
Thanks, Marina. Hi, good morning. Julia Goodwell, Director of Housing and Community Development. As requested at the last meeting, we have a video PowerPoint of staff in action at the annual Apartment Association trade show. But before we show you that, just a few brief other updates under my executive director report. OCHA received our HUD funding letter for the 2023 calendar year. You've heard me mention this before, the housing authorities on a calendar year funding basis from HUD. OCHA received the same base amount as last year plus a 7.5% to account for inflation, which HUD calls the inflation factor. The amount is sufficient to allow us to continue to serve the same volume of voucher holders that we served in 2022. A note to that, however, for next fiscal year, the federal government came to an agreement on the debt ceiling, which included an agreement to raise the debt ceiling that caps spending in the next fiscal year at approximately current funding levels. Because of inflation and high rent increases, the HUD spending bill will need an estimated $13 billion to $15 billion in additional funding over current spending levels just to keep all families who are currently receiving rental assistance in their homes.
Can you just repeat that one more time?
Yes, certainly.
Because it's breathtaking.
Yeah, just make sure I get that.
So the debt ceiling is going to allow next fiscal year to have approximately current funding levels, so 2022 funding levels. However, because of inflation and high rent increases, the HUD spending bill, it's actually called Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development spending bill, will need an estimated $13 billion to $15 billion in additional funding over current spending levels just to keep all families who are currently receiving rental assistance in their homes.
Wow. Federally, all families?
Right. Federally,
okay,
the whole nation.
Do we have a number on those families or is that? That asking too much.
we'll look in my next sentence. We have to keep reviewing this. We have National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, or NAHRO, is our the group that tracks this nationally for housing authorities.
What is it? It's an agency. What's it?
NAHRO. We call them NARO, or National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials. They're our industry group. So they're tracking, currently the House introduced their appropriations, the House Appropriations Committee introduced a $22 billion cut to the HUD spending bill. But that's just the House, so we have to continue to track as this goes through Congress. So that's just an update. So this year, we're fine. The calendar year. It's going to be the next year that we need to see how this will play out on the funding side. Yes.
So does this mean, does it affect housing funding generally, or does it also affect vouchers as well?
That's exactly what it affects, is that rental assistance. So they need 13 to 15 billion just to keep paying the rental assistance, giving the funding to the housing authorities.
So does that mean potentially people could lose their voucher?
it's not about losing the voucher. We lose our funding, so if we had to make cuts, and this has not happened to us before. I was in housing development the last time we came close to this, and the county had to utilize some additional operating reserve money just to kind of not cut people from the program. As an interim basis, but yes, it could mean that. It could mean stopping issuing vouchers, because then you have a normal glide down, right? Because we have turnover.
Sure.
We expect turnover, so it might. So there might be many different things, but right now we're just in a tracking mode. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that this is an important thing to track for next year.
Thank you.
On a brighter note, OCHA has been had staffing shortages. However, they've hired 23 staff since August 2022 over this last year, and we continue to fill positions at OCHA. So that's my last update before we have the presentation, unless there are any other questions.
Any other questions?
I have a question. So does that 23 short staffing represent, how do you see that affecting?
Oh, so we hired 23 staff, so we filled.
So you were 23 short?
Over several, right, the previous year, right. So we have staffing shortages. Let me not presume your next question. Go ahead.
Sorry. That was my next question.
Is that what it impacts?
Yes.
It does impact workload. It's been something that we've been very focused on. With our human resources department being able to provide different kind of recruitments. We've had temporary promotions of staff, right? Because we have a housing specialist one, a housing specialist two series, and we have offered temp promos, and then we've backfilled that with some temp employees, right? And that could do more of the scanning and the data entry kind of pieces of it. So we've been working on many different things to have a full staffing complement, because we feel that the positions that we have, in order for us to achieve, you know, our most efficient capacity, is to fill all of the positions. But we naturally have vacancies, you know, or 113 members in the Orange County Housing Authority. So we naturally have vacancies. The vacancy factor, though, had been up to 25%, which is too high to maintain workload.
Is this a good time to bring up a question regarding housing renewals and the amount of time it takes to get those issues approved?
Say again.
For example, when you come up for your annual financial renewal, it's taking a really long time. Could that be due to some of those requirements?
Yeah, it might be. I'm not looking at WANA, but we do have to adjust. I know that we do have a standard time. We try to respond on that. But if you have something specific, you can certainly email us and we can look into it. Okay.
So what would be the average, what would be the ideal timeline and the current timeline? Do you have any idea about that?
Yes. For the annual certifications, we work 4 months ahead because of the shortages, we're between 4.5 to 5 months. So we're asking for the annual certification paperwork a little bit earlier just to give us enough time to process. But you should be, all our clients should be receiving their new portion 30 days effective from their annual certification.
And the annual certification approval, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. So then, if you're out 4 months, then doesn't your next certification come up in 8 months?
If your annual certification is on an annual basis, it's just the work itself is done 4 months in advance from the effective date of the annual certification. So for example, if the annual certification is May, then we're working and sending the package in January.
Okay, so then when your approval's in May, then your next certification isn't until May the next year?
Correct.
So they would begin working on that again in?
The next January.
Okay, I think I got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just, can you continue to provide in your update the tracking that House bill on those HUD cuts?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, if we have no other questions, we can go with the
presentation?
I'm sorry, the other presentation.
Jerry, you got that?
Is there any dancing involved?
And you can see it from the angles. Yeah.
Is it on one side?
It's on both sides.
OCHA presents to you the Apartment Association of Orange County's 52nd Annual Trade Show and Conference, brought to you by Leasing. On March 31st, 2023, the Leasing Section, along with a representative from Special Housing Programs, participated in the annual AAOC Trade Show and Conference. This was held at the OC Fair Event Center in Costa Mesa. This year's theme was the magic of the multifamily industry. The theme this year gave us a unique opportunity to display the magic of partnerships between the property owners, OCHA, and the tenants as it pertains to the Housing Choice Voucher Program. By working together, we are able to create housing opportunities for low-income families, the elderly, and the disabled. Additionally, the trade show continues to be a great opportunity for OCHA to network with participating landlords and housing industry partners, and to provide information about our program to prospective property owners. Over the last couple of years, OCHA solicited information from landlords on how we can earn their business. The feedback we continue to receive allows us to make enhancements to the way we do business. As a result, we've created the Leasing Call Center and Owner Hotline so our clients can get a live person, which increases our agency's level of customer service. In more recent efforts, OCHA implemented the scanning of documents and DocuSign to increase OCHA's efficiencies with our property owner verification process. Additionally, OCHA implemented the Remote Video Inspection, also known as RVI. This allows OCHA staff to conduct inspections virtually, creating efficiencies for our inspection process. Our focus continues to be on customer service and educating our landlords and property managers by providing workshops and answering questions coming through the owner hotline. Also, by participating in events like the AAOC Trade Show, we continue to maintain our visibility to the community we serve. The feedback we receive validates that OCHA continues to move in the right direction. And now, I bring to you the magic of OCHA at the 52nd Annual Trade Show and Conference. Thank you.
would like to challenge everyone on this committee to be present at the next, what, do you have that date yet?
I don't know that we have the next Department Association trade show date.
No, it's
Next April?
Next April.
We'll let you know.
It's, I mean, it's such an outreach opportunity that doesn't exist anywhere else, that we should all be there talking to landlords. And if you have a landlord that you know, bring him in and let's meet with him and talk to him.
Congratulations.
Four vacancies is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Congratulations on the, what do you know, best theme?
Yeah.
Best use of theme, yeah.
All right. We do have that second opportunity for public comments. So at this time, members of the public may address the commission regarding any off-agenda items within the subject matter of our commission, provided no action will be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Speakers will have 3 minutes to address the commission, and the clerk will run the time and announce when your time is expired. Do we have anyone here to speak?
Mr. Vice Chairman, we do have one request to speak for Ms. Denora Echavarria. Ms. Denora, you can approach the podium.
Good morning.
Yes. Is it happening? Yeah, you can just put it on screen. You'll have 3 minutes
when
the clock starts.
I'm a little nervous. I'm not feeling well. English is my second language. Bear with me. I was brought to this country by the U.S. government from Cuba, 1969. America was great. The culture was mixed. We have discrimination in housing. Bear with me, please. I worked for 40 plus years. A decent Cuban America, I'm about to hit the media and the whole world is going to hear me out. A country that told us freedom of speech is protected here. Orange County, with all due respect, I have great family from the 70s, do not belong to Mexico. Belong to every ethnicity. As I was growing up as a kid in Orange County, Mexico are discriminating against us from Cuba. Born in a communist country, not fall on my own. And I blame all the board of supervisors for not mixing and keeping the culture mixed. I did not experience that as a kid. I'm a full grown woman. And Housing Authority, Orange County, Santa Ana, Anaheim, they went hard, told me I qualified for subsidy. Go ahead and sign up, put your social. This guy won a voucher in 2019 because I came to them in 2017 preventing to lose my place after 20 or more years. Just to see what government who assists me since I was told I was brought by the US government protected under federal then and still to date. And when I did exactly what I was told by Mr. Lockwood that it was on 34th Civic, Santa Ana on the 7th floor, I follow because America always been great to us. It's not government. Government being great to us is the wrong employee ministering those programs for government. And I'm tired. I'm trying to keep the media because everybody from Cuba, every nationality will hit Orange County. I'm here, don't feel great, living from friends to friend. That's a lot of my place. Orange County let me down in 2017. Anaheim stole a voucher that I still have my confirmation number and told me, yes, you want it in the lottery, but you're not going to get it. We're giving it to somebody else. And I went to board of supervisor meeting. Many officers from across got to meet me, many federal officers. They tell me, keep talking. This country needs to hear you out. And I took my time to come today, even though I don't feel well. I haven't been able to eat, drinking a lot of water, chicken broth. Fix this problem in Orange County, and housing belongs to all of us. First time that I basically told I qualified for subsidy,
yeah,
and I want to go, I want to go to the city that I grew up, which is Jovalinda, hoping you fix it. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to member comments. At this time, members of the commission may comment on agenda items or non-agenda items and ask questions. I'll open up. Anyone here want to bring anything up?
Sure, I'd like to.
Go ahead.
I would like to thank the staff, Julia Bidwell's staff. I don't know who it was, but they helped me out with an event that came up. It was a last-minute event, community event. It was put on by George Freitagam, who is Mayor Pro Tem of Garden Grove, and also the Mayor of Westminster, Charlie Wynn. They put together an event, a housing event, for the community to answer questions for the community, for specifically the Vietnamese American community that didn't speak English or doesn't speak English. So they advertised it in radio and on television because a lot of these elderly Vietnamese people, they don't know how to use the internet or they don't have access to the internet. So they broadcasted it, and the last minute they asked me to come there and be the keynote, which I spoke on. I had a list of questions that I didn't know the answer, so I sent it to Julia and she said, when do you need this, by a week or two? And I said, no, I need it by tomorrow. And her staff was great in giving me the answers and giving me the content that I spoke about for about an hour with these people, doing a Q&A answers for a lot of these people. And they didn't know where to go. A lot of these people, they didn't know that they could check their status online. They didn't know to call 211. There's a lot of people that have been on a waiting list for 2 to 3 years and they didn't know what to do because of the language barrier. They didn't know, they're just like, oh, we're just waiting 2 or 3 years for this thing. So it was about 150 of them, and I spent about an hour with these people. And a lot of them, well, we went through all the different programs since the main housing choice is closed right now, but these other vouchers programs, a lot of them qualified for it. I'd say like 25% of them did qualify for it. So directed them on where to apply and gave them some resources, including the staff and the cities were printing out things from the website from the Housing Commission. But thank you, Julia, for having your staff and whoever the staff was for getting on that as quickly as possible in a matter of hours. So it was a great event, 150 people. A lot of them they've never talked to anybody at the Housing Commission because they're intimidated or anything, but I was happy to help them. So thank you for allowing me to help others.
Great. Anyone else?
Yeah, I just attended the, it was an invitation for elected officials to the Fenimore Place, and I know Anaheim is not in our housing, district, but they are having an open house tonight if you want to see it. It's an amazing facility. It's amazing. It's got Head Start in there. It's full service, and I was really impressed with it. So.
What is my name?
It is Fenimore Place. It is located at 915 East Orangewood Avenue in Anaheim. And if you just want to get an idea of, one of the newest projects, this is an incredible example. And I believe they're having open house tonight. But you have to double check me on that one.
What are the hours?
You know what? You can go to jamboreehousing.com. This is a spec sheet. This isn't about the event.
Okay.
But I think you can go to jamboreehousing.com or, and find out more about it tonight. Yeah.
Go.
Thank you. I wanted to go back to the public comments, not to beat a dead horse, but somehow we need to let the public know that that has changed. Do we need to, post? Because if they're coming in thinking they can speak at the end, and we've done it at the beginning, we've made that change, and how do we communicate that to the public, was my comment.
Yeah, obviously all the agendas are public.
Right.
The public interface that we have is the website.
Mm-hmm.
So when the bylaws get adopted and approved by the board, and we have that new first agenda, we could put new order next to it on the website.
Okay. Thank you. And I also wanted to comment on the RVI, which is the remote virtual inspection, because I've experienced it. So just to report to the commission members that it's pretty effective. It's not too long, it's thorough, very professionally handled, and it really does make life a lot easier, I'm sure, for a lot of people, including tenants and the inspectors. So I think it's a good thing. Thank you for doing that.
Anyone else? No? First up, just to clarify again, based on the normal posting of the agenda and obviously the dates of our meetings, you know, there's always accusations of what our, you know, our normal schedule is the last Thursday of every month. There are exceptions, but does the entire calendar year post it on that website so they know what those regular meeting dates are throughout the year?
Yes, correct. Okay. On the website is all the meeting dates for the year. It's on the website.
Or Thursday of the month.
And then you, you'll post that if it's going to be canceled the week prior or whatever.
Right. The cancellation is posted at the time we cancel.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is usually pretty far ahead. I mean, it's not like the day before. Typically.
No, it can't be for the Brown Act. It's typically the Friday before.
Okay. Okay. Well, seeing that, our next scheduled meeting is on July 27. I'll let you know I won't be here that day. So.
Is that excused?
Yeah, it's an excused wing.
Yeah, is that that's going to be an unexcused absence?
Well, the bylaws won't have been adopted.
Okay.
But, you're okay.
I got two more after that.
Though. That's right. It takes us a while to get to the board agenda. Just a notation that we had secured this room, but they needed it for another event, so we're going to be at that conference, that bigger conference room that's just out the back doors here. We'll note that again when we send out the agenda, but it's a different room.
That's for next month's meeting?
For next month's meeting.
Okay. So we would go to that other door down there?
Yeah, we'd go through that hallway to that. But we'll let you know, but just to note that.
Okay. Okay, if there's nothing else, meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job. So you went, so you were in Paris?